Volume 48, Number 7 of the Friend Magazine for July 2018. Contents. Stories and Features from the First Presidency, Take Care of Each Other, by President Henry B. Eyring. A Forever Feeling, Family Night Fun, Book of Mormon Reading Club, Goodly Grandparents, The Service Club, Shine Your Light, A Friend and a Missionary, Apostles Testify of Christ, Elder Gary E. Stevenson, Helper for a Day, Show and Tell, Friend to Friend, Race Day with Dad, by Elder K. Brent Natras, My Week on Temple Square, A Different Kind of Pioneer, Matt and Mandy, Stop and Flip, For Older Kids, Detective Danny Does It Again, Food and Fun, Isabel's Journey, What's on Your Mind, Music, Family History is the Story of Me, Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, Different Families, Family History Quest, Old Testament Heroes, Ruth, Fun Stuff, Find It, Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones, Thank You, Arturo's Family Prayer, Talking to Heavenly Father, Scripture Stories, Hannah and Samuel, Coloring Page, Allie's New Class. End of contents, read by Dwayne Case.
Friends by mail, I can help. I read The Vegetable Thief, November 2017, and learned that if someone is in need, you can help them. Jacob B., age 6, Florida, USA.
Shine your light. Thanks for sending in your stars. Keep them coming. Turn to page 39 to see how.
Dear friends, are you part of the Book of Mormon Reading Club, page 7? If you're trying to read the Book of Mormon, like President Nelson asked us to, you already are. If not, you can start today. How do you read? When do you read? Do you read alone, or with your family, or a friend? Please write and tell us what the Book of Mormon means to you. Love, the Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail, read by Daniel and Miles McClellan and Ocean Patello.
From the First Presidency, Take Care of Each Other, by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. In the early days of the church, many people were moving into the city of Nauvoo. The prophet Joseph Smith needed a way to take care of them, so he organized wards. Then, when the saints started moving across the plains toward Utah, they were organized into companies or groups. This helped them take care of each other better. My great-grandpa got sick on the trail west. He was too weak to walk. Two women were sent from the nearby company to help him. They saved my great-grandpa. He got better and walked the rest of the way to Utah with one of the women by his side. They fell in love and got married. He was my great-grandpa Henry Eyring. She was my great-grandma Maria Bomelli Eyring. Years later, people said it must have been hard for her to travel so far. But great-grandma said, "Oh, no, it wasn't hard. While we walked, we talked the whole way about what a miracle it was that we had both found the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the happiest time I can remember." Today, wards help us take care of each other. We succeed or do a good job when we love each other more than we care about ourselves. The Spirit can help us know what is best for the person we are trying to help. The Spirit can help us feel charity, the pure love of Christ. Moroni chapter 7, verse 47. I am grateful for the love of the Lord, which He so generously gives us. End of the article. From the First Presidency, Take Care of Each Other, by President Henry B. Eyring, second counselor in the first presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Getting to know President Henry B. Eyring. He was born on May 31st, 1933 in Princeton, New Jersey, USA. His nickname is Hal. He played basketball in high school. He studied physics in college, then studied business. He served in the U.S. Air Force. President Spencer W. Kimball, the 12th president of the church, and his wife Camilla were his uncle and aunt. He used to be president of Ricks College, now called BYU-Idaho. He met his wife Kathleen while they were students at Harvard University. He enjoys drawing and painting interesting people and places. He painted this. He dedicated a temple in El Salvador and rededicated temples in Argentina, Mexico, and Utah. He was set apart as second counselor in the first presidency on January 14, 2018. End of the article, Getting to Know President Henry B. Eyring. Read by Amelie Strongen.
A Forever Feeling by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Whatsoever ye shall seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven.
What does families are forever mean?
Mia asked. She moved her game piece across the board. She and her best friend Zoe were playing a game in Zoe's living room. On the wall was a picture that said, Families are forever. Mia liked the sound of that.
It means that even after you die, you're still a family,
Zoe explained. She put down a card and moved her game piece. Mia looked around the room. It looked normal. There were couches, tables, pillows, and a TV. But Zoe's house felt a little different from her own.
Do you have a forever family?
Mia asked. Zoe looked up from the game with a smile.
Yes, my mom and dad were married in the temple, so we can be together forever.
Is that why your house feels different?
Zoe looked confused.
Different?
Mia didn't know how to explain the feeling in Zoe's house. It was happy and warm, but that sounded silly to say.
Never mind. Let's keep playing.
That night, Mia couldn't stop thinking about Zoe's forever family. She loved the feeling in Zoe's house. Mia's family was going to move to Ontario, Canada in a few days. She wondered how their new house would feel.
Mom, Zoe's house feels so happy,
Mia said as Mom tucked her into bed.
I want our new house to feel like that.
Mia thought about how much she loved Mom, Dad, and her little brothers.
I want our family to be forever.
Mom listened quietly.
I do too,
she said. The next day, Mom called Zoe's mom. She found out that Zoe's family went to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I want to go to that church,
Mia told her parents while they packed. Their house was almost empty now.
Zoe's mom said she could help us find their church in Ontario,
Dad said as he taped up a box. Mia smiled and felt a flutter in her stomach. Maybe their new house could feel as warm and happy as Zoe's. Once they were settled in their new house, Mia's family started going to church. The people there were very nice. Everyone called each other brother and sister. Mia went to primary with her little brothers. She liked singing songs and reading the scriptures. Soon, two young women came to Mia's house. Their names were Sister Justin and Sister Ramos, and they were missionaries. They told Mia's family about Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Book of Mormon. Mia loved hearing about the gospel. Even her brothers sat quietly and listened. Mia told Sister Ramos and Sister Justin about Zoe's house.
I want a forever family like Zoe's.
We are all part of Heavenly Father's family,
Sister Ramos said.
And we can be sealed to our families in the temple, too.
Soon, Mia's family decided to be baptized. Zoe and her family drove all the way to Ontario for the baptisms. A year later, they came back again. This time, it was because Mia and her family were being sealed in the temple. The day of the sealing, Mia stood outside the temple with her family, dressed in white. They were all smiling from ear to ear. Mia felt warm and peaceful inside. It was a feeling she had first felt at Zoe's house, and she wanted to keep it with her forever. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
End of the story, A Forever Feeling. Read by Jane Wise, Shannon Nelson, Maya Reinwand, Rena Nelson, and Kennedy Hawkins.
Family night fun. Here's an idea for family home evening. What other ideas can you come up with? Making home special. Read A Forever Feeling on page 4. Now make this poster to talk about what your family does or can do to help your home be a special place where the spirit can be. Step 1. Get a poster or large piece of paper. Write your family's name on it. Step 2. Now fill the poster with words and pictures of what your family does to make your home special. Do you read scriptures, play games together? Add other things you do or want to do together. Step 3. Now hang up your poster so you can remember all the good things you're doing. Crescent ring. A circle has no beginning and no end. Make this circle-shaped dessert to remember that families can be together forever. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 1 cup cream cheese, softened, 1/4 cup of white sugar, 1 can refrigerated crescent roll dough, 1.5 cups pie filling, any flavor, 1/2 cup powdered sugar, 1 tablespoon milk. Step 1. In a large bowl, mix the cream cheese and white sugar together. Set aside. Step 2. Separate the crescent dough into triangles. On a large greased pan, arrange the triangles in a circle, with the wide edges overlapping and the points facing out. Step 3. Spread the pie filling over the inner part of the crescent ring. Top with the cream cheese mixture. Step 4. Fold each triangle point over the filling and tuck it in on the other side. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit, 175 degrees Celsius for 15 to 20 minutes or until golden brown. Let cool. Step 5. Mix the powdered sugar and milk to make a glaze. Drizzle the glaze over the crescent ring. More ideas. Read Detective Danny Does It Again. Page 32. What can you find out about your family? Read about this month's Old Testament hero. Page 19. Then draw a picture of your scripture hero. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of this month's Family Night Fun, read by Margot Patello.
Book of Mormon Reading Club. Join in by reading the Book of Mormon. You can read on your own, with your family, or with a friend. Then tell us about it. See page 39 to find out how. This month's scripture, Helaman chapter 5, verse 12. Remember, remember, that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation.
I like the story of Lehi's vision because it makes me happy. It teaches me to make good choices so I can get to the tree of life. The tree of life is a symbol for life with Heavenly Father Jesus Christ and all the people I love. Sadie S., age 9, Lusaka, Zambia.
I love the Book of Mormon because it is a true book. It is scripture from God, and I believe it. Joel S., age 8, Maharashtra, India.
Goodly Grandparents by Jenna Kimball, based on a true story. I have a family here on earth. They are so good to me. Children's Songbook, number 188.
Andrew, the bus is here,
Nana called. Andrew raced out the door. He waved goodbye to Nana, Papa, and his little sister, Amy. Amy was too little to go to school, so she stayed home with Nana and Papa. Andrew liked school. He liked playing with his friends at recess. He liked his teacher, Miss Kimball. After morning recess, Miss Kimball said,
Next week we are going to have Bring a Parent to School Day. When your parent comes, make sure they bring something from their job to show us. We're excited to hear from them.
Andrew's face got hot. He didn't have anything to say about his parents. He didn't remember a lot about his mom. She left when he was little. And Andrew didn't even know his dad. Andrew listened as the other kids talked about their moms and dads. Tony's mom was a firefighter, and Jessica's dad worked at the zoo. Everyone hoped her dad would bring a monkey or a sloth to class.
What about your parents?
Tony asked Andrew. Andrew looked at his feet. He shrugged.
I live with my grandparents.
Andrew loved Nana and Papa, but they didn't have cool jobs. Nana sold blankets and baby clothes. Papa drove a food truck. Andrew wasn't so sure about Bring a Parent to School Day. That night, Andrew read the first chapter of the Book of Mormon. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents. 1 Nephi, chapter 1, verse 1.
I don't live with my parents,
Andrew thought.
I just live with Nana and Papa.
Just then, Amy walked into Andrew's room, hugging a fuzzy blanket. She held it up for Andrew to see.
Nana made!
Yeah, Nana made that blanket for you.
Andrew smiled a little. He thought about all the nice things Nana did for him. Making breakfast before school, helping with homework, playing games with him and Amy. Nana was a lot like a mom. Then Andrew thought about Papa. Papa read stories to Andrew every night. He helped with homework, too. He also taught Andrew how to ride a bike. Papa was a lot like a dad. Andrew's smile got bigger. He was really grateful for Nana and Papa. He still felt nervous about bringing a grandparent to school. But it was going to be okay.
I may not have goodly parents,
he thought,
but I have goodly grandparents, and that's something special.
On Bring a Parent to School Day, Andrew sat with Papa in the back of class and listened to the other kids' parents. Tony's mom brought her firefighter uniform. She let everyone try on her helmet. Jessica's dad brought a turtle from the zoo.
Your turn, Andrew,
Miss Kimball said. Andrew walked to the front of the class with Papa. He took a deep breath and said,
My papa drives a food truck. He meets lots of people, and he works really hard.
Andrew looked up and saw Papa smiling. Then Papa talked about driving his truck. He also gave everyone a treat from his work. The kids in Andrew's class asked Papa lots of questions about his job. Andrew was happy to have Papa with him. He and Papa and Nana and Amy were a family. And they were a goodly one. The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the story. Goodly Grandparents. Read by Jane Wise, Kate Strongen, Enzo and Ocean Patello, Miles McClellan, and Lindsay Hepworth.
A True Story, written by you. The Service Club, by Bella R., age 11, Utah, USA. One day, my twin sister Maddie, our younger brother Nathan, and I wanted to do something together. Since we were really busy that week, we hadn't had much time to be together. We all chose to do service. Our mom suggested that we do a service club. We all agreed and turned the room under our stairs into a meeting room. For our first service project, we made a list of people around our neighborhood that we appreciated. We decorated cards and wrote letters that thanked them and told them we love and appreciate them. We signed the letters with a big question mark. The next day, we rode our bikes all around the neighborhood to our friends' houses and stuck the letters on their front porches. By the time we had delivered all the letters, we all felt really happy. We had so much fun being together, and even better, serving. Later that week, we were at our summer cooking class. We had given our teacher a letter. We saw that same letter hung up on her bulletin board. We all felt excited that she had felt our love. We continued the service club and also started making delicious treats to give to people we love. We gave a treat we called the Butterscotch Supreme to a lady in our ward who had gotten a concussion. Our mom got a text saying the lady loved it and appreciated our kindness. That led to more baking for friends. I am so glad that we can show people we love them. It makes me feel good to know that I am serving Heavenly Father when I serve others. End of the story, The Service Club, read by Amelie Strongen.
Shine Your Light, a Friend and a Missionary.
Hi, my name is Juan Bautista, and I'm from Argentina. I shine my light by sharing the gospel. Best friends. My best friend, Facundo, and I have known each other since we were 5. We both love football. I invited him to a lot of church activities. Facundo's first question. Once when Facundo was having dinner with us, he asked, "Why does your family always pray?" I said it's because Heavenly Father blesses us, and this is how we thank him. He was amazed. Family home evening. Facundo came to family home evening when my brother Benjamin was getting ready for baptism. Facundo felt the Spirit, and he asked if he could get baptized too. My father talked to Facundo's parents about it. The missionaries taught Facundo's family. Then, Facundo and his sister, Augustine, both got baptized. Facundo's second question. Facundo asked my mom if he would ever know as much as I do about God. She smiled and said that if he studies his scriptures and prays, he could learn even more. How can you shine? Invite a friend to a church activity or family home evening. Be a good example of kindness and love. Pray for help and inspiration. Send us a star. Jesus asked us to let our light so shine. Matthew 5:16. How do you let your light shine? Send us a star with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39.
End of article, Shine Your Light, A Friend and a Missionary, read by Chloe and Enzo Patello.
Apostles testify of Christ. I have faith in and a testimony of Jesus Christ and of his role as our Savior and Redeemer. Elder Gary E. Stevenson, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, from A Gospel Perspective, Brigham Young University, Hawaii Devotional, September 19, 2017, devotional.byuh.edu. End of Apostles Testify of Christ, read by Dwayne Case.
Helper for a Day by Sharon Bigelow. Based on a true story. Today is Elena's turn to be the special helper at school. "Good morning, special helper," says Mrs. Glenn. The special helper gets to pick up Mrs. Glenn's blue folder from the office. Elena gets to choose a friend to go with her.
"I pick Ruby."
She gets to be the first in line to go to the library. She even gets to show the class her favorite toy.
"This is Puga. She's named after a dog my dad had growing up in Brazil."
It's time to pick another friend to help take the blue folder back to the office.
Who should I choose? Maggie? Josh? Emiko? No one ever picks Lucas. Maybe that would make him happy.
I pick Lucas.
Elena likes helping her teacher, and she likes helping her friends too. End of the article, Helper for a Day, read by Shauna Thompson and Amelie Strongen.
Family History Quest. Find a family pioneer. All kinds of people can be pioneers, not just those who pulled a handcart or rode in a covered wagon. A pioneer is someone who does something new. Look through your family tree, ask your parents, and see how many family pioneers you can fill in below. Then add this page to your box or binder. Who was the first person to move to your country? Write down the person's name, where they lived before, and when they moved. Who was the first person to join the church? Who was the first person to serve a mission? And who was the first person to graduate from high school or college? Be a family history pioneer. Now it's your chance to be a pioneer. Add these stories on FamilySearch.org, and you can be a pioneer by helping write and save the story of your family. Don't forget to cut out your badge and add it to the badge keeper from January. Print past pages or extra copies of this page at friendfhq.lds.org. End of this month's Family History Quest, Find a Family Pioneer, read by Wes Nelson.
Old Testament Heroes. Ruth was a loyal friend. A woman named Naomi lived with her two sons and their wives. When both sons died, Naomi told their wives they could move back with their own families. But one of the wives, Ruth, was very loyal. She chose to stay and help take care of Naomi. Ruth went to gather grain from a nearby field. The owner had heard what a good person Ruth was. He was kind to Ruth. Ruth decided to marry him. Ruth and Naomi stayed good friends, and Naomi helped take care of Ruth's son. Years later, Jesus was born into this family line. That means Ruth was one of Jesus' ancestors. Read about Ruth in Ruth 1 through 4. Kylie Q, age 8, Virginia, USA, drew a picture of Ruth. Ruth was a loyal friend, and I can be one too. Memorize Ruth 1:16. To be loyal means to support someone, even when it's hard. Write in your journal about a time someone was loyal to you. Make a new friend this week. Learn 3 fun things about them. I can be a good friend by... Print more cards at otfriend2018.lds.org. End of this month's Old Testament Heroes, read by Shannon Nelson.
Show and tell. As friends, we want to honor the people in our neighborhood who serve our country in the military. We sing patriotic songs and share cupcakes with them. Adeline S., Julian W., Connor M., Eli S., Ansel S., and Easton M., ages 5, 11, 8, 7, 11, and 6, Missouri, USA.
When I take the sacrament, I feel the Holy Ghost and thank Heavenly Father for giving us His begotten Son to die for our sins. Matthew N., age 12, Busia, Kenya.
After an indoor recess, everyone stuffed their games on the shelf. I tried to be a good example, so I started to clean up the mess on the shelf. Soon, everyone began doing the same. Winnie W., age 10, British Columbia, Canada.
I was playing with a friend who showed me a video. At first it was funny, but then a character said a bad word. When I hear bad words, it feels bad in my body. So I asked him if we could do something else. He said okay. I felt happy inside. Javon F., age 9, North Carolina, USA.
My family traveled to Hong Kong to be sealed in the temple. We felt the Spirit. I was able to help the missionaries because I speak English. Rosa P., age 9, Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
I saw a new girl at school who was alone. I asked my friends to include her in playing with us. They said no, but I went anyway and played with her. We are now friends. Megan P., age 10, Arizona, USA.
To celebrate Pioneer Day, primary children of the Lebanon, Pennsylvania ward, USA, and their friends helped refugees close to home by making cards and putting together hygiene, school, and cleaning kits to help welcome them.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Joseph H., age 10, Minnesota, USA. Tanson M., age 7, Hawaii, USA. Avery S., age 8, Alberta, Canada. Ellen A., age 10, Georgia, USA. Find more art online at childart.lds.org. End of this month's Show and Tell.
Friend to Friend. Race Day with Dad. By Elder K. Brent Natras of the 70. My daddy is my favorite pal, and I know he loves me too. Children's Songbook, page 211. When I was 8 or 9 years old, I wanted to build a go-kart. There was a race coming up, so my dad helped me build a car to enter. We got some wood planks and put one in the middle and two on each end. Then we put a little chair on it with ropes to steer. We just had a block of wood for a brake. I pushed it down with my foot and the wood dragged on the ground. To finish the car off, I put some big old plastic tires from a tricycle on it. When we showed up at the race, the other kids had those really fancy go-karts. People were laughing when they saw us. But I wasn't embarrassed, because my dad was by me. As long as he was there, I was good. People stood all along the streets. The nice, shiny cars lined up at the start. We raced down the hill, and my car won. Then we went to the next race, and I kept winning. I got second place overall. The race was really fun because my dad had helped me and let me make the car how I wanted. I had confidence because my dad was there. I knew who I was and that my dad supported me. We have a Heavenly Father who knows who we are. He always loves and supports us. We can follow His example. From an interview with Ashley Barnett. End of the story, Race Day with Dad, by Elder K. Brent Natras of the 70. Read by Wes Nelson.
A true story written by you. My Week on Temple Square, by Kent B., age 11, Florida, USA. My family went to Salt Lake City for a family reunion. Before we left home, we watched the A Year on Temple Square videos on children.lds.org, so we knew the best places to visit. First, we went to the church office building to see the observation deck. After that, we went to the Lion House to eat rolls. It was Brigham Young's old house. Later, we went to the Church History Museum. The artifacts were so cool. I decided I want sunglasses like Brigham Young's. At the kid area, I saw some blocks and made two models of Temple Square. One was smaller and had the temple, tabernacle, office building, and conference center. The other had more detailed buildings. We also went to the Family History Center to solve a family history mystery, which we did. Then we came back later to tour the conference center, which is a lot more impressive in real life, and saw lots of the originals of my favorite paintings. We also went to see the Christus in the visitor center and took our picture there. And when we came back for a Mormon Tabernacle Choir Pioneer Day concert that night, the temple was all lit up and looked so beautiful. I really felt the spirit the entire time because it was almost Pioneer Day, and we were in the land Heavenly Father gave the pioneers. It made me think about how the desert blossomed as the rose, Isaiah 35:1, and how the Lord blessed the pioneers tremendously through their hard work so they can live happily. Now I can cross Temple Square off my sightseeing list. End of the article. My Week on Temple Square. Read by Enzo Patello.
Fun stuff, find it. This month, we celebrate Pioneer Day. Pioneer children sang songs as they walked on the long journey to the Salt Lake Valley. Can you find the hidden objects? A feather, a carrot, a paintbrush, an envelope, a button, a bat, a crown, a fan, a spatula, a spoon, a brush, a horseshoe, a golf club, a cup, and a banana. End of this month's Fun Stuff Find It, read by Shannon Nelson.
A Different Kind of Pioneer by Daniela Subieta, based on a true story. I want to know my ancestors through stories that I find. Family history is the story of me.
Are you excited for activity day?
Chloe asked Gabby as they sat down in sharing time. Gabby shrugged.
We're supposed to learn about a pioneer ancestor and do a presentation, right?
Chloe nodded.
I'm excited. My great-great-great-grandma was from Scotland. She crossed the plains to Utah in a covered wagon. I think I'm going to bring her journal and read it in a Scottish accent.
That'll be cool.
Gabby looked down at her hands.
I don't think I'm related to any pioneers, though.
Chloe said.
Well, Sister James says we're all pioneers.
Gabby imagined everyone in the room dressed in pioneer clothing and laughed.
I'm glad we don't have to wear bonnets.
Later that day, Gabby was helping Mom cook dinner when she thought about Activity Day again.
So, what pioneer ancestors do we have?
Gabby asked, stirring a pot of bubbling red sauce. Mom threw some spices into the pot, then started chopping little sausages.
Ancestors? I tell you about them all the time. You should know.
Wait, like who?
Like your great-grandpa.
No, I mean pioneer ancestors who crossed the plains, ones who pulled wagons and wore bonnets and stuff.
Mom laughed.
Well, we don't have any of those, but we do have other awesome ancestors who did pioneering things, like your great-grandpa Louisa.
Gabby smiled.
I love hearing stories about your grandma. She grew up on a farm in Spain, right?
Mom nodded.
Then she moved to Argentina and started her own business. Even though she never had a chance to finish school, she made sure her children got a good education.
As the sauce simmered, they sat at the kitchen table, and Mom told Gabby more stories about Grandma Louisa. She was a gardener and talked to her flowers. Whenever she went on a trip, the flowers would wilt a little, just because they missed her.
And the most important thing to remember about Grandma Louisa is her faith. She would pray out loud as she did dishes, as she cooked, as she gardened. She loved talking to God.
Mom got a happy, sad expression on her face, like she was looking at something far away. Gabby reached out and put her hand on Mom's arm.
Those are cool stories, Mom. I think I'll tell the other primary kids about Louisa. I wish I could have known her.
Me too. She would have loved spending time with you,
Mom said. When the day of the activity came, Gabby was ready. She'd gathered a few of Louisa's things to show. Her favorite lotion, a beaded rosary she held while praying, and a gourd she used as a cup for traditional drinks. But Gabby's favorite thing to show was a picture of Louisa when she was 18 years old. It made her seem so real. At the activity, Chloe presented first. She had dressed up like her great-great-great-grandma with a bonnet and everything. Then it was Gabby's turn.
I want to talk about my great-grandma Louisa. She was my mom's grandma.
As Gabby kept talking, she felt really good inside. Even though she had never met Louisa, she loved her.
Because of Louisa's faith, my mom learned about God. And then my mom joined the church when she grew up. And that's why I'm here.
As Gabby sat down, she looked down at her picture of Louisa.
Thanks for being a pioneer,
Gabby thought with a smile. The author lives in Georgia, USA.
Sidebar. when our hearts turn to our ancestors, something changes inside us. We feel part of something greater than ourselves. President Russell M. Nelson, Generations Linked in Love, Ensign, May 2010, page 92.
End of the story, A Different Kind of Pioneer. Read by Kate Strongen, Chloe Patello, Amelie Strongen, Shauna Thompson, and Duane Case.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, Matt is busy making poster for Mandy's student council campaign when Mom comes in.
Hey, Matt. We just got an email from your cousin Max in Australia.
Oh, let me see.
Matt goes to the family computer.
And I like soccer, but cricket is my favorite.
It's a little like baseball, but also very different.
And I love meat pies.
Not the kind of pie with ice cream on top, like you're thinking.
And he loves something called Lamingtons. It's like we both speak English, but it's not quite the same language. Hey, Max and Mindy got baptized last month. And cool, his family's going to be sealed in the temple next week.
That's great.
We might have some different sports and foods and words, but we share the really important stuff.
End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids, brain teaser. Sam's mother has three children. The first is named April, and the second is named May. What's the name of the third child? See page 39. Dear Journal, write about a time you were surprised. Secret Service. Secretly clean out your family's car. Offer to share something yummy from your lunch. Bring ice pops, lemonade, or water to family or friends working outside. Quick quiz. Which of these groups did the Apostle Paul visit on his missionary journeys? Hint. See page 1439 of the New Testament. Jaredites, Babylonians, Mulekites, or Corinthians? See page 39 for answers. Draw it. Draw a cat from the number 6. Gabe E., age 11, from Utah, USA, said, My great aunt started an organization to help orphans. I wanted to help, so I worked really hard taking care of lambs and donated some money to help. I also sold tasty dried apples to help people around my neighborhood. It was hard work, but I knew I had done well because I felt a warm feeling inside my heart. End of For Older Kids, read by Miles McClellan.
Detective Danny Does It Again by Charlotte Larsible, Church Magazines, based on a true story. And the hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers. Doctrine and Covenant, section 2, verse 2. Danny was a detective. He had a notebook. He had a magnifying glass. He didn't have a trench coat, but it was too hot for one of those anyway. Like all good detectives, Danny looked for clues. He asked questions. He did research, and he found answers. Just last week, he solved the mystery of the dumpster diver. Someone had knocked over the trash bins outside and dumped garbage all over Danny's yard. After looking for clues, Danny discovered the culprit's identity. A raccoon! Case closed! But today there were no mysteries to solve. Danny sat down next to Dad at the computer desk and played with his magnifying glass.
Is Detective Danny solving another mystery?
Dad asked, looking up from the computer.
No,
Danny said.
Nobody lost anything, nobody is missing, and I can't find anything suspicious.
The detectives in Danny's books said words like suspicious a lot.
I have a mystery for you,
Dad said as he clicked the computer mouse. Danny perked up. Another mystery? He looked at the computer screen, but all he saw were a bunch of names and dates.
Aw, Dad,
Danny said.
That's not detective work. That's just family history.
just family history?
Dad pretended to be shocked.
This is some of the most important detective work you can do. You have to hunt for clues, find missing people, and solve the mystery of where you came from.
Danny crinkled his nose. He would rather be following footprints with his magnifying glass.
I'll tell you what. I need to make a few calls. Why don't you look at the family tree while I'm gone? You might be surprised by what you find.
Danny sighed and sat down at the computer. He found his name, his parents' names, and his grandparents' names. Then he clicked an arrow, and even more names appeared. The names kept going on and on. Some of his ancestors were from California, like him. But some were from countries far away.
Whoa! They lived hundreds of years ago,
he thought.
I wonder what they were like.
Then Danny saw some blank spots on his family tree. Maybe there was some detective work to be done. From that day on, Detective Danny was on the case. The family history mystery. He looked for clues in family journals. He called his grandma and asked her lots of questions. He searched online and found old records and pictures of his ancestors. Danny loved helping filling in the blanks on his family tree. Soon, he had helped Dad find 12 people who needed temple ordinances. Dad was really excited when Danny found a record for Herbert Henry Jaunty, Danny's great-great-grandfather.
Your great-grandpa used to talk about his father all the time, and now I can do his temple work for him. Thanks, Detective Danny. Case closed?
Danny shook his head and smiled. He wasn't just solving a mystery. He was helping his family members get closer to Heavenly Father, and he wanted to keep helping.
Case not closed. We have a lot more work to do.
I like to index and to add names to my family tree. Jocelyn M., age 10, Santa Ana, El Salvador.
End of the story, Detective Danny Does It Again. Read by Wes Nelson, Scott Christopher, Gabriel Reinwand, and Chloe Patello.
Food and Fun. Pioneer Messages by Kenzie Parsons. Pioneers came to the Salt Lake Valley from many different countries, speaking lots of different languages. To help people learn to speak and write English, Brigham Young and others created a new alphabet. It had 38 letters, and each letter stood for a different sound in English. Figure out the two messages. Check your answers on page 39. Horseshoe Cookies. Mix a half cup butter or margarine, a half cup shortening, 2 cups of flour, 3/4 cup sugar, half cup finely chopped almonds, and 1.5 teaspoons vanilla. Knead together well. Shape into horseshoes and place on ungreased cookie sheet. Bake at 400 degrees Fahrenheit, 200 degrees Celsius for 15 to 20 minutes. Roll in sugar. The Hop, Step, and Jump Game. This is a game that any pioneer, including you, could play. It's also known as the triple jump. Mark a starting line, then walk 18 steps and mark a takeoff line. End of this month's Food and Fun, read by Margot Patello.
Isabel's Journey by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. Brazil, 1992. Isabel squinted up at the deep blue sky. There were no clouds in sight. She licked her dry lips. Her parents were talking quietly with President Santiago, the stake president. The motor of the boat was so loud that she couldn't hear them. But she knew what they were talking about. There was no more drinking water. Isabel tried to focus on the reason for their journey. They were going to the temple to be sealed as a family. She remembered hearing her parents talk about the beautiful temple in Sao Paulo ever since she was a little girl. Going there almost seemed like a fairy tale. After all, Isabel's family lived in Manaus, deep in the Amazon rainforest, and the temple was more than 2,000 miles away, or 3,219 kilometers.
Then-President Santiago had planned a 6-day trip to get there. More than 100 members had decided to go. It will be a sacrifice, Mamay had told her, but sacrifice brings blessings. At first, the trip was exciting. They slept in hammocks on the deck of the boat, sang hymns, and read scriptures. But then, the drinking water had run out, and the river water was too dirty to drink. Isabel felt Mamay touch her arm. President Santiago is gathering us all together, she said. We're going to pray for rain. Isabel joined the group, and the prayer began. After the prayer ended, she felt cool air tickle her neck. She raced to the side of the boat and gasped. Gray storm clouds were moving toward them. Soon rain began to pour down. She opened her mouth to catch the raindrops on her tongue. Quick, cried Mamay. Grab buckets, pans, anything. Isabel grabbed a pan and held it out. She wanted to catch all the water she could. Everyone worked together, laughing and celebrating. Soon they were having a giant soaking party. The storm lasted for 15 minutes. It was long enough for them to get all the water they needed. It was a miracle. Soon the boat reached land. They still had 1,500 miles, or 2,414 kilometers, to go. Everyone got on a bus for the rest of the trip. For days, the bus jolted over the rough roads. One time it bounced so hard that the windshield broke. Sometimes they rode through hot, crowded cities, but at least the roads weren't so bumpy. Everyone was always grateful when they stopped at a village or town to eat. They ate at chapels or with church members along the way. The first night, they arrived so late that Isabel was afraid that no one would be waiting. Don't worry, Mamay said with a tired smile. Look. The branch president and church members were lined up across the road. They held a banner that read, Sacrifice brings blessings. Isabel smiled. Mamay was right. After 3 bumpy days, they finally reached Sao Paulo. Isabel stood on her seat to get a better view as the bus drove around a curve. Suddenly, everyone on the bus burst into cheers. O templo! O templo! They could see the tall, thin temple spire rising above rows of palm trees. Sunlight shone on the golden angel Moroni. Everyone was exhausted, but no one wanted to rest. They wanted to be sealed right away. When it was time for her family to be sealed, Isabel carefully dressed in white. As she walked into the sealing room, she saw her father beaming. Tears of joy streamed down Mamay's face. Their journey had been long and even dangerous. But the sacrifice was worth it, Isabel thought. She smiled as she took her place to be sealed to her family forever. The author lives in Texas, USA. In 2012, a temple was built in Manaus, Brazil, where Isabel grew up. By then, Isabel and the other children were grown up with families of their own. Many of them came to see this beautiful new temple and remember their own journey. End of the story, Isabel's Journey, read by Kara McClellan.
What's on your mind? Sometimes kids at school tease each other about how they look and about dating, and it makes me feel really awkward. What can I do? Awkward in Auckland.
Dear Awkward, as you get older, it can be hard to know how to act around people of the other gender. But remember these tips, and you'll be off to a good start. Everyone's bodies are changing, and that can feel awkward. Commenting on someone else's body can make them feel uncomfortable. Instead, try complimenting them on what they do. Remember, it's never okay to say something mean about someone's body. Focus on friendship. Save going out for later when you're 16 or older. Look for what you have in common. You might find more than you think. We hope this helps. Thanks for writing, The Friend. What's on your mind? Do you have a question about the gospel, growing up, or getting a testimony? Email us at friend@ldschurch.org and put what's on your mind in the subject line. Don't forget to include the permission statement on page 39. We're excited to hear from you.
End of the article, What's on Your Mind? Read by Ethan Nelson and Maya Reinwand.
For parents of little ones. It's mine! Does that sentence sound familiar? It's no secret that sharing is a difficult concept for little ones to learn. But the good news is that sharing is a skill children can learn with patience. Here are some ideas. Sing a simple rhyme or song when your children need a sharing reminder, like, "Sharing our toys is fun to do," or, "I can share to show I care." Set a timer to help children take turns. Sometimes children think that letting someone else play with a toy means they'll never get it back. Before friends come over, ask your child if he or she would like to pick a favorite toy to not share, like a prized stuffed animal or favorite truck. Put that toy away before the playdate. Make sharing a part of everyday life. Practice sharing with your child, even when it's just the two of you, and point out when you're sharing. Try, "Would you like to have some of my crackers? Look, we're sharing. May I have a piece of your apple? Thank you for sharing with me." There's a coloring page about sharing on page FJ7. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of this month's For Parents of Little Ones, read by Wes Nelson.
Action Rhyme, Thank You, by Jordan Monson Wright. When someone gives me food to eat or shares with me a yummy treat, when I don't put my shoes on right and someone helps me tie them tight, when someone helps me reach the shelf because I can't reach it myself, then I remember what to do. I smile at them and say, "Thank you." End of the action rhyme, Thank You, read by Shannon Nelson.
Arturo's Family Prayer by Jennifer Maddy. It's time for family prayer. Dad calls. Arturo puts away his crayons. He kneels with his family. "What are some things you need help with?" Dad asks. "I'm scared to start school soon," said Sophia. "I don't feel very good," says Mom with a sniffle. "I'm trying to be brave when my room is dark at night," Arturo says. "I will ask Heavenly Father to help you with all those things," Dad says. Mom, Dad, Arturo, and Sophia bow their heads. Arturo is happy and he can pray with his family. End of the story, Arturo's Family Prayer, read by Daniel McClellan.
Talking to Heavenly Father. When we pray, we are talking to Heavenly Father. How do we act during a prayer? Point to the right answer. Then practice the next time you pray. When we pray, what do we think about? When we pray, what do we do with our eyes? When we pray, what words do we use? When we pray, what do we do with our bodies? Can you think of a scripture story about prayer? End of the article, Talking to Heavenly Father, read by Sean Nelson.
Scripture Stories, Hannah and Samuel, by Kim Webb Reed. Hannah was sad that she did not have a child. She prayed in the temple. She promised that if she had a son, she would raise him to serve God. Hannah and her husband did have a baby. Hannah named him Samuel. She knew that God had answered her prayers. As Samuel grew, Hannah kept her promise. She asked Eli, the priest at the temple, to teach Samuel how to serve God. Eli helped take care of Samuel. One night, Samuel heard a voice. He asked if Eli had called him. Eli said God was trying to speak to Samuel. The next time Samuel heard the voice, he listened. Then God spoke to Samuel. Samuel listened to God and followed him. I can learn about God and follow His commandments. From 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3.
End of the article, Hannah and Samuel, read by Shauna Thompson. Allie's New Class by Chrissy Smith, based on a true story. Allie was so happy that she felt bouncy. She got in the car to ride home.
"Today was great,"
she told Mom.
"We drew pictures, and I met a new teacher. Her name is Miss Gregg. Now I have two teachers."
Allie had been in kindergarten for 3 weeks. She loved everything. Activities, projects, lunchtime with friends, her teacher, Mrs. Coleman, and now she had another teacher, Miss Gregg. It was perfect.
"Wait," Mom said. "You aren't going to have two teachers, just one. Miss Gregg is your new teacher. That's why you went to her class today."
Allie frowned.
"What?"
Her bouncy feeling popped like a balloon.
"Mrs. Coleman's class was too big. The school chose you for a new class."
Allie thought about her friends in Mrs. Coleman's class.
"I don't think the class was too big."
"You'll have fun in your new class."
But Allie didn't want a new class. She would miss Mrs. Coleman and her new friend Caitlin. This morning school was perfect. Now it was ruined. At bedtime, Allie kneeled to pray.
"Why don't you ask Heavenly Father to help you in your new class?"
"Dear Heavenly Father, please help me have fun at school."
She started to feel a little better, but she was still nervous. The next morning, more worries filled her head.
"Will I like my new class? Will I see my friends?"
But new thoughts came too.
"I can be brave. Heavenly Father will help me."
After school, Allie was happy.
"How was your day?"
Mom asked.
"Great,"
Allie said. She climbed into the car.
"Miss Gregg is really nice. I saw Caitlin on the playground. And I gotta make a goodie bag."
"That does sound like a good day,"
Allie smiled.
"Heavenly Father answered my prayer."
The author lives in Florida, USA.
End of the story. Allie's New Class, read by Shauna Thompson, Kristen Hawkins, and Ocean Patello.